Douglas fir where the waters cut through. Down her wild mountains and canyons she flew, Canadian Northwest to the ocean so blue. It's roll on, Columbia, roll on. Roll on, Columbia, roll on. Roll on, Columbia, roll on. Your power is turning our darkness to dawn. Roll on, Columbia, roll on. Other great rivers add power to you, Yakima Snake and the Clicky Tattoo, Sandy, Willamette, and Hood River too. Roll on, Columbia, roll on.
Roll on, Columbia, the story of Woody Guthrie in the Pacific Northwest.
Roll on, Columbia, roll on. Your power is turning our darkness to dawn. Roll on, Columbia, roll on.
This program tells the story of 1 month in the life of Woody Guthrie, the month of May 1941, when Woody Guthrie lived in Portland, Oregon, and worked for the federal government. Woody was employed by the Bonneville Power Administration as a songwriter. The 26 songs Guthrie wrote in Portland have become known as the Columbia River Songs, and some of his best-known work is from the collection, including Pastures of Plenty and Roll on, Columbia. But other songs in the collection were lost for over 40 years. This program also tells the story of the songs themselves and presents 11 lost Columbia River recordings for the first time.
It's there on your banks that we fought many a fight. Sheridan's boys and the blockhouse at night. They saw us in death, but never in flight. Roll on, Columbia, roll on. Roll on, Columbia, roll on. Roll on, Columbia, roll on. Your power is turning our darkness to dawn. Roll on, Columbia, roll on. Our loved ones we lost there at Cold Little Store, by fireball and rifle a dozen or more. We won, but the Marion soldier she bore. Roll on, Columbia, roll on. Remember the trial when the battle was won, the wild Indian warrior to the tall timber run. We hung ever Indian with smoke in his gun. Roll on, Columbia, roll on. Year after year we had tedious trials, fighting the rapids and cascades and downs. Engines rest peaceful on Mamaloo Sound. Roll on, Columbia, roll on. Roll on, Columbia, roll on. Roll on, Columbia, roll on. Your power is turning our darkness to dawn. Roll on, Columbia, roll on. At Bonneville now there is ships in the locks. Waters have arisen and drowned at the rocks. Shiploads of plenty will steam in the dark. Roll on, Columbia, roll on. On up the river at Grand Coulee Dam, mightiest thing ever built by a man, to run the great factors for old Uncle Sam. It's roll on, Columbia, roll on. Roll on, Columbia, roll on. Roll on, Columbia, roll on. Your power is turning darkness to dawn. Roll on, Columbia, roll on.
My friends of the Northwest, today I have a feeling of real satisfaction in witnessing the completion of another great national project, and of pleasure in the fact that in its inception 4 years ago, I had some part.
In 1937, President Franklin Roosevelt came to Bonneville Dam to dedicate the recently completed structure and to announce the birth of a new organization, the Bonneville Power Administration. The development of the Columbia River would transform life in the Pacific Northwest in the years to come as the region enjoyed the nation's most plentiful supply of electricity. The BPA's policy of selling power with preference to public power companies and at a uniform rate meant that the benefits of the cheap hydropower would be shared by all.
Well, the world has seven wonders. Travelers all
greatest wonder in Uncle Sam's fair land. It's the King Columbia River and the big Grand Coulee Dam. She heads up the Canadian mountains where the rippling waters glide, coming rolling down the canyon just to meet the salty tide of the wild Pacific Ocean, where the sun sets in the west. And the big Grand Coulee country is the land I love the best. At the Umatilla Rapids, the Dalles, and at Cascades, men have carved a mighty history, all the sacrifices made. In the thundering, foaming waters of the big Celilo Falls, in the big Grand Coulee country, I love the best of all. She winds down the Granite Canyon and bends across the lee, like a prancing, dancing stallion down her seaway to the sea. Cast your eyes upon the biggest thing that built by human hands on the King Columbia River, it's the big Grand Coulee Dam. In the misty crystal glitter of that wild and windward spray, men have fought the pounding waters and have met a watery grave. Yes, it tore their boats to splinters, but it gave men dreams to dream of the day that Coulee Dam would cross that wild and wasted stream. Bonneville on the river is a green and beautiful sight. See the Bonneville Dam rising in the sun so clear and white. The leaping salmon playing along the ladders and the locks. There's a steamboat load of gasoline a-whistling in the docks. Uncle Sam took the challenge in the year of 33 for the farmer and the factory and for all of you and me. Said, roll along Columbia, you can ramble to the sea, but the river, while you ramble, you can do some work for me. Now in Washington and Oregon, you hear the factories hum, making chrome and making manganese and light aluminum. And the roaring flying fortress wings her way for Uncle Sam, spawned upon the King Columbia by the great Grand Coulee Dam. Washington and Oregon, you hear the factories hum, making chrome and making manganese and light aluminum. And the roaring flying fortress wings away for Uncle Sam, spawned upon the King Columbia by the big Grand Coulee Dam.
In the same year the BPA was born, an itinerant folk singer and refugee from the dust bowls of Oklahoma and Texas named Woodrow Wilson Guthrie had become an overnight celebrity on KFBD radio in Los Angeles. Woody had left his wife and children behind in Pampa, Texas, a year earlier to join thousands of men on the road looking for work. Woody's family later joined him in California, but his radio job didn't last, and in 1940, Woody, his wife Mary, and their three children traveled to New York City. There, Woody met people like Pete Seeger and folklorist Alan Lomax. Alan Lomax still remembers the first time he saw Woody on stage.
I'd say at that time, Woody was one of the funniest people in the world. You know, he could stand up in front of an audience. He may have never got to one song in 2 hours of performance. He told stories, and the audience was in stitches and weeping. I mean, he was a wonderful storyteller at that point in his life. Just wound audiences around his little finger.
When Woody Guthrie first met Alan Lomax, Lomax was the director of the Folk Song Archive at the Library of Congress and a radio producer for CBS. As a result of Alan's connections at CBS, Woody was soon appearing on two national radio programs. Woody was well paid, but by the end of 1940, he'd become restless. He rankled under CBS's tight editorial control of his programs, and one day he abruptly resigned from both radio shows. He left New York and headed south with Mary and the children in their new Pontiac, a symbol of the prosperity of his CBS days. At about the same time, the still young Bonneville Power Administration in Portland, Oregon, was looking for a folk singer and songwriter. Information officer Steve Kahn was in charge of producing a movie for the BPA that celebrated the development of the Columbia River and public power. Kahn wanted to reach a large audience with this film.
He would add to it folk music to try to broaden its appeal.
BPA employee Bill Merlin.
And through his movie producer, Gunther von Fritsch, they contacted Alan Lomax in Washington, D.C. or New York, and said, "Who?" And Lomax said, "Woody Guthrie."
The idea that Woody would actually get a job writing ballads was just an inconceivable stroke. I felt like shouting over the telephone line. It was a laughing conversation all the way. I can remember how full of laughter, of delight and triumph I felt that Woody would get the chance to do this.
Well, Woody had left New York by then and was headed west by way of Texas. And Von Fritsch attempted to catch up with Woody with a message saying, "We've got this project, we'd like to talk to you about it." And the message finally caught up with Woody in Northern California. Von Fritsch went down and visited with them, but there were no promises made about whether or not Woody actually had a job. But Woody didn't have employment at that particular time, and so he packed up wife and kids and belongings and into their car and almost chased Von Fritsch back to Portland.
I've been grubbing on a little farm on the flat and windy plains. I've been listening to the hungry cattle bawl. I'm gonna pack my wife and kids. I'm gonna hit that western road. I'm gonna hit that Oregon Trail this coming fall. I'm gonna hit that Oregon Trail this coming fall. Hit that Oregon Trail this coming fall. Where the good rain falls aplenty and the crops and orchards grow. I'm gonna hit that Oregon Trail this coming fall. Well, my land is dry and crackling, and my chickens, they're a-cackling, cause the dirt and dust is a-getting in their craw. They've been laying flint rock eggs, I had to bust them with a sledge, and I'm gonna hit that Oregon Trail this coming fall. I'm gonna hit that Oregon Trail this coming fall. Hit that Oregon Trail this coming fall. Where the good rain falls aplenty and the crops and orchards grow. I'm gonna hit that Oregon Trail this coming fall. Well, my hogs and pigs are squealing, they're rocking and are reeling, cause there ain't no water to waller in the draw. I'm gonna grab one by his tail, I'm gonna take him down a western trail, and we'll hit that Oregon Trail this coming fall. Now my good old horse is bony, yes he's dry and hungry too. You can see his rib 3/4 of a mile. Throw the kids up on his back, and the bay horse and the black, and we'll hit that Oregon Trail this coming fall. I'm gonna hit that Oregon Trail this coming fall. Hit that Oregon Trail this coming fall. Where the good rain falls aplenty, where the crops and orchards grow. I'm gonna hit that Oregon Trail this coming fall. Well, my wife gets sort of ailing when that mean old dust is sailing, and she wishes for the days beyond recall. If the work there's in the future in that North Pacific land, so we'll hit that Oregon Trail this coming fall. I'm gonna hit that Oregon Trail this coming fall. Hit that Oregon Trail this coming fall. Where the good rain falls aplenty and the crops and orchards grow. I'm gonna hit that Oregon Trail this coming fall.
So he came to Portland without full knowledge that he had a job when he got here. But there was nothing else going on at the time for him.
Bill Merlin came to work for the BPA in 1979. He has extensively researched Woody Guthrie's time with Bonneville and in 1983 discovered many lost songs and recordings from the Columbia River collection.
So he arrives out on the street in front of the headquarters building in a battered up but relatively new automobile, looking scraggly, with a long beard, blonde wife, and 3 blonde children in the car. Woody shows up in the office looking for Kahn and Von Fritsch. Where's the job? There wasn't a job. And there was no way that they could get him a job in a short period of time. And Kahn knew that the only way that he was going to be able to seize this opportunity would be to get an emergency declaration made by the administrator of the agency that this job was necessary. So Kahn took Guthrie into Administrator Paul Raver's office, sat him down and said, "Here, do this interview." Guthrie sang songs and talked and charmed Raver out of a 30-day job.
Woody Guthrie now had a job with the BPA, but he also had real financial difficulties. When he arrived in Portland, he was flat broke. Steve Kahn.
I didn't have any money, as I remember. I had to give him a loan some money. And when he discovered his car was missing, I said, is it paid for, Woody? He says, well, I made a down payment on it. I said, well, did you tell the finance company you're up here? He said, yes, I told him I had a job with Bonneville. And I said, but we might be able to get your car back. I'll try. And when I'll go down with you to the finance company. So we went down there, and the fellow, when he looked at the paper, he says, you can have the car back for $1,032.46. And I said, you got that much on you, Woody? He says, no. I said, well, you don't want that car, do you, Woody? He said, no, I guess not. So we walked out of the finance company office.
Well, you single boys can ramble, you single boys can roam, but it takes a married man, boys, to sing worried song, married man, a worried song. Once you used to ramble, I sung a single song. Now I'm married, boys, I had to change my tune, and a married man, he sings a worried song. I was rough and I was rowdy when I led a single life, but I got to take it easy and I got myself a wife. I'm a married man, I'm singing a word song. I've got six kids to feed and educate. It's really got me thinking, not to make a law in this place. I'm a married man, I'm singing a word song. I am very happy married, and I got to save my dough. We got six children, expecting several more. It's a married man, worried song. Yes, we got six little children, expecting several more. He'd run out like cattle when you open up the door. I'm a married man, I'm singing a worried song. Yes, you single boys can ramble and lead a rowdy life. You'll have to take it easy when you get yourself a wife. You'll be singing a word song. You'll have a flock of children and others coming on. It takes a married man, boy, to sing a word song. A married man, I know a word song.
From Woody's first day at work, his supervisor, Steve Kahn, was a strict boss. He wanted to make sure the BPA got its money's worth.
I was over him with a whip. Like in Hollywood, they require a script writer to turn out 3 pages a day or something, you know. No matter how bad or good it is, he has to bring in the 3 pages. He had a great tendency to throw in songs that he had written before and just change a few lines. I didn't mind that if they were appropriate, but I wanted something that would be usable in a film.
And Kahn practically required, forced Woody to produce something each day. Woody would dip back into his bag of existing songs, make some modifications to them, and turn them in. Whether it was knuckling under the pressure or being inspired by what he saw in the Pacific Northwest, whatever it was, we got 26 songs in 30 days out of him. I can't remember what the annual salary was, but it worked out to $266.60 for 30 days of work, which ends up being about a 10 spot per song. Pretty cheap.
Up in that northwest land of the sky, Columbia River's headwaters rise. Mountain to mountain, covered with snow, I'll follow that river wherever she goes. She's 92 miles north, west of Spokane. There you will see our Grand Coulee Dam. Grand Coulee Dam, boys, Grand Coulee Dam. Biggest thing built by the hand of a man. Winter and summer, springtime and fall, makes her way down her high canyon wall. Bright rippling water,
broad. Seldom you see such a beautiful sight. Power the same, boys and turbans and wine. Waters back up to the Canadian line. 400 miles of waters will stand. Rich farms will come from this hot desert sand. Waters lift up the canyon so steep, making a lake 800 foot deep. Waters will roll to the north and the south, never again be afraid of the drought. Waters will flow with the greatest of ease, 100 miles west, boys, and 100 miles east. Factories that work for all of this land run on that power from the Grand Coulee Dam. Ships on the ocean, ships in the sky, each after each, her waters will rise. High lines will top your mountains and hills, driving your shops, your factories and mills. Niagara Falls sends mist to the sky, Grand Coulee Dam, boys, is just twice as high. He's a 4,300 feet across her top, 550 down to her rock. So I'll settle this land, boys, and I'll work like a man, and I'll water my crops from that Grand Coulee Dam. Grand Coulee Dam, boys, Grand Coulee Dam. I wish we had a lot more Grand Coulee Dam.
Many of the songs Guthrie wrote for the BPA were entirely new, based on what he saw and experienced in the Northwest. Woody took many field trips around the region, down the Willamette Valley and out into the Columbia Gorge to Bonneville and Grand Coulee Dams. He visited many Northwest cities, including Seattle and Spokane.
He traveled, usually with a Bonneville driver in a Bonneville car, sitting in the back seat, thumping away on his guitar or writing notes in a notepad and not responding at all to questions being asked by the driver, who wanted to be friendly and conversational.
The man was not a conversationalist. I mean, he was thinking about knocking out these songs.
Elmer Bueller was one of the BPA employees who drove Woody around.
Because I was driving the car, and he was always in the back seat, and I would point out certain things, and he'd say, well, let's stop.
Down along the river, just sitting on rocks, watching the boats in the Bonneville lock. Gate swings open, the barge sails in, a two-time whistle is gone again. Gasoline going up, wheat coming down. Well, I filled up my hat and brim, drunk a little taste. I thought about a river just going to waste. I thought about the dust, I thought about the sand, I thought about the people, I thought about the land. Folks running all around over creation, looking for a little place, something to do. Water comes splashing through the dam, trickling down across the land. Powerhouse sings, the generator whines. Down the hill comes the big power line. Electricity running all around. Cheaper than rainwater. Lots of folks around the country, politicians and such, said the old Columbia wouldn't never amount to much. Fellers back east done a lot of squawking, and some of them are talking and some of them are balking. But with all their figures and all their books, them boys didn't know the Royal Chinook. It's a good river. Just needs a couple of more dozen big power dams scattered up and down them, keeping folks busy.
For him, it was just a heavenly experience, a godsend.
Alan Lomax.
Everything about the situation was just right for him. You know, he came from the dry Southwest like I did, and I can remember the first time I ever saw the Columbia River Valley, and I felt like I'd got to heaven. Green, clear water, soft air. And that was the way the Columbia River hit Woody. They perched him on the heights of the dam, and he looked down and communed with the salmon. Oh, God.
Well, I pulled out my pencil, I scribbled this song. Figured all them salmon just couldn't be wrong. Them salmon fish is pretty shrewd, you know. They got senators and politicians, too. Just about like a president. They run every 4 years. You just watch this river, though, pretty soon. Everybody's going to be changing their tune. Big Grand Coulee on the Bonneville Dam has going to need lots more of them scattered all over the land. Just a drop in the bucket. Need dams at Umatilla Rapids, Dalles, and Foster Creek, and Rocky Reach, and Arlington, and Sheeland, and a thousand other factories. Turn out everything from fertilizer to atomic bedrooms and plastic trimmings, and everything ought to be plastic. Well, the folks need houses and stuff to eat, and the folks need the metals, and the folks need wheat. Folks need water and power dams, and folks need people, and the people need the land. This whole big Pacific Northwest up in here ought to be run, the way I see it, by electricized tea. And this here same electricity ought to jump and crackle and sparkle and jump, I think, around the whole world.
The only clothes I ever saw him wear was a suntan shirt and suntan pants. I took him places where I was scheduled to be. I never went out of the way. I didn't make a special trip just for him. I took him down to Yamhill County and on over to Pratham near Salem. There was large hop yards there.
He had never seen hops before. And he asked a great many questions about hops. Well, he's got hops mentioned in Pastures of Plenty. He's got our other crops in the Northwest mentioned in a number of his songs. Peaches, prunes, apples, cherries, beets.
It's a mighty hard road that my poor hand is holding. My poor feet has traveled a hot, dusty road. Out of your dust bowl and westward we rolled, and your desert was hot and your mountains was cold. And prunes, slept on the ground in the light of your moon. On the edge of your city you've seen us, and then we come with the dust and we go with the wind.
California and Arizona, I make all your crops. And it's north up to Oregon to gather your hops. Dig the beets from your ground, cut the grapes from your vine to set on your table your light sparkling wine. Green pastures of plenty from dry desert ground, from that Grand Coulee Dam where the water runs down. Ever stayed in this union, us migrants have been to work in this fight, and we'll fight till we win. Well, it's always we ramble, that river and I, all along your green valley, I'll work till I die. My land I'll defend with my life if it be, 'cause my pastures are plenty